Welcome to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil, the official Monster Jam podcast. I'm Scott Jordan. My guest this week currently leads his series in freestyle wins as we go to the Great Clips hotline to what looks like the pit area of Angel Stadium to welcome in the freestyle king of Les Damas, Joe Foley. Joe, welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, buddy. Good to see you.
Good to see you, man. I appreciate you guys having me back.
Yeah, man. Well, you're a story this year, a big story, actually. And before I get to that, man, the names that are coming at you on social media with the hashtags, you can't deny it. So I've coined the freestyle king of Lesta. You've got Joey Freestyle. You got Freestyle Foley. I mean, all these hashtags coming out, man. You're changing the game. What do you think about this newfound popularity that you have?
It's nuts, man. I mean, going in last year, I mean, I was starting to kind of make my name a little bit more. And now coming out this year with the three freestyle wins I have right now, I mean, it's blowing up and it's absolutely crazy. I love every second of it.
Well, not only are you driving differently, you look differently too, man. You've grown up since I last had you on. We had you on with the Rookie Fever episode with Chelsea Van Cleve, which cheap plug here is available in our archives wherever you download your podcast, man. But now you got the beard, the long hair, the cowboy hat, which I assumed you borrowed from Todd LeDuc. But man, just talk about your growth this year. Now in year two, you had a season under your belt in Axe. Now you're El Toro Loco. You're flying high. Talk about what's been different for you in year two.
Honestly, year two, I mean, it was after last year. I had a terrible season last year. I mean, I got the win in Kansas City, which was awesome. I'm happy that I did that in Axe. But from start to finish, the season was just beating on me. It was just blown up motor after truck issues. And it was all on myself. I mean, I had made a lot of mistakes. It wasn't anybody else's fault besides mine. I mean, the crew worked their tails off every day. Jim obviously gives me the best equipment humanly possible. I hate all of them.
Was that Jim just giving you a honk there for giving a shout out? Tell him.
Thank you. I got to do a podcast.
What are your fans are stopping you now? See, listen, the hashtag Joey Freestyle has gone viral now. Fans are coming to Angel Stadium to watch you record a podcast. You're like the biggest star in Monster Jam right now, man. So you were saying that Jim, the equipment Jim gives you has been great.
Yeah, the equipment Jim gives me is always top notch. I mean, yes, I'm in the oldest truck there is. I have Jim's 2008 Avenger, which won the World Finals in 2011. And as much as he's been trying to get me to update and get a new truck, I'm still showing that this old thing can win, and it wins a lot. So I'm pretty confident that this thing's going to keep lasting for a while. I don't want to get out of it. But no, I mean, this season has been absolutely amazing so far. Running the El Toro name is super cool. It's one of their top like four or five trucks. So it's super popular everywhere.
What happened after the season ended? Did you hang around in Columbus with Jim and work on trucks? Or did you go back home? What did you do throughout the off season?
I mean, Monster Jam's off season will run from the kickoff to finals. And then once we're done with that, we start running our smaller independent shows. So we're doing, you know, monster truck throwdowns. We're doing county fairs. So the work for us never stops. We only really get like a month off. And we tear everything apart through December and then build it all back up. And then January starts, we're on the road right over again.
All right. You mentioned that you have the oldest truck, obviously still the Axe chassis there, but with as much as you're showing up to the pay window, Jim's got to have some pressure on him right now to maybe finally build you that new chassis. So has there been any talk yet in the first part of the season with the way you're performing that maybe next year will be the year that you get something new?
There has been discussion about it, and it's more of Jim and the guys kind of telling me, hey, you need a new truck, and me kind of firing back at him, be like, no, I'm good. I like the old truck. The old truck's working for me. I'd rather keep in something I'm comfortable in than relearn being in one of the bigger trucks.
As a Massachusetts guy, do you happen to see the Dunk Kings commercial with Ben Affleck for the Super Bowl? Did you see that? Because I can envision you in a Dunk Kings jumpsuit coming out to the pit party with the El Toro Loco jacket, man. I'd love to see that. You know, Dunkin' Donuts, Massachusetts. I love it. We're going to push for that at some point. But meanwhile, stay right where you are. I have more with Joe Foley and his cowboy hat next on Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. We are back with more Inside Monster Jam powered by Lucas Oil. I'm joined this week by El Toro Loco's Joe Foley from the parking lot pit area of Angel Stadium. And he's had a plethora of fans come by already trying to get his autograph. But, you know, pit party is not happening right now. So thanks, Joe, for continuing to do my show, buddy. I appreciate it. Let's go back to Kansas City. You talked about it. That sort of kicked off this freestyle Foley, Joey Freestyle hashtag everywhere with your first freestyle win. It was May 20th, 2023, the final event of the season for Stadium Championship Series Blue. You win your first career freestyle in Axe. Talk about that moment for you, what it felt like.
I mean, that winning that freestyle in Kansas City was absolutely amazing. I'd worked that show working for Jimmy Creedon, so I had already crewed there like 3 or 4 times. I worked it with Jim Kohler. I've done that show a bunch of times, and I do truly love Kansas City. I'm not just saying that because my brother's a Chiefs fan and they won the Super Bowl, but I do actually enjoy Kansas City. But no, going into that, I didn't really have any high expectations. I just kind of wanted to go out with a bang and do something a little different in freestyle. But, I mean, racing was all right. Two-wheel, I scored fairly well. And then when the green light turned on to freestyle, every idea that I had went out the window, and it was, all right, get out there and win something. So, I mean, I'd watched John Gordon, Cody Socia, all those guys, they went and tore it up. And I had the opportunity to be the first backflip of the night, which I think worked out in my favor quite well. And, no, I just let it rip. Everything on that show worked out the way that I needed it to. The truck held together. The rollover at the very end, I think, capped it off. So, because everybody got to see a truck upside down, which everybody loves. So,
yeah.
No, I think everything from that freestyle went about as good as it could go from start to finish.
When you go let's focus on Kansas City here. Did Jim, just because it was the last event and you didn't have to worry about what happened tomorrow, did he kind of just let you take the reins off a little bit and let the truck eat? Or is that something that he just tells you to do no matter what because he knows that whatever you break, you're going to have to fix anyway?
He pretty much tells us to do it regardless. As long as we're here the next day to fix the truck,
yeah,
and put it all back together, he doesn't care what we do. He's by far the most laid back and just most relaxed and coolest person that I've ever worked for in my entire life.
Yeah. Did you know once the season ended that you were going to be coming back for another year with Team Scream, or is that something that progressed throughout the summer? I know you said you were doing some other smaller events, but was Monster Jam with Team Scream on your radar already at the end of 2023, or did that come together a little quicker?
No, I mean, I wasn't 100% sure if me personally was going to do it. I didn't have any intentions of going anywhere, but after how rough the last season was, I didn't know whether I would be driving or crewing again. But no, I mean, Team Scream is always excited and always ready to go back to Monster Jam as soon as they give us a phone call.
Yeah, now let's talk a little bit about your role, not only as a driver, but also as a technician, because Jim has that mentality that, as you said, as long as you're here the next day to fix it, it doesn't matter. But does availability of parts ever become an issue? Like if you only have one transmission left, did you have to be cognizant of that you don't want to go out and racing and fire through one transmission? Or is it just, just do what you want and we'll worry about what happens after?
I mean, running as an independent anyway, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You got to be able to put on a show without absolutely tearing the truck up, and that's the extremely difficult part. But, I mean, we've had situations where it's like, okay, we only have a fistful of these parts left, so just be aware. Don't put the truck in a situation where you could potentially break this or this part could fail. Like you said with transmissions, I mean, I've been in a spot where I've had to do a few shows with reverse being a little weak, so I don't do the stoppies and stuff like that because I only have one or two transmissions left and I need to make them last. So it's difficult to be able to kind of differentiate, go out there and tear the truck up and do something spectacular, or go out there and still do a good job but try not to hurt the truck as much.
When I had you on the show last year, you did talk about how, a lot of the things that were going wrong for you were on you, about, these just kind of mistakes of running the truck too hard or not pushing, not pulling. How were you able to stay aware when you're inside the truck that, okay, I'm not going to make this mistake again. I'm not going to do this again because that didn't work for me last year. So now it's time to step up and do something else.
A lot of the times last year, for the most part, it was failures. And me and Jim had talked about it at great lengths of what I was doing wrong. And basically, to sum it up, he was telling me I was riding it like a two-stroke quad, fair enough. I mean, I did ride dirt bikes and four-wheelers when I was younger. So, I mean, you strap me into the truck and the pedal to the metal. But now I'm kind of – I've gone back and watched a lot of more videos of, you know, Jim or other independent drivers doing shows. So, you know, you're not on the throttle. You're not on the wood the whole time like, you know, Ryan and Tyler and Adam and all those guys. You kind of got to get the throttle rhythm down, and you don't need to be on the floor, you know, the entire length of the run, because 2 minutes full bore on a monster truck motor is not what they're built for. They're not happy to do that. If the truck hiccups or you hear something that sounds weird, you know, just hold on a second. Take a look at the gauges, make sure no oil pressure lights are on, make sure the oil pressure's up, and just kind of be aware of what the truck's doing, what it sounds like. Because I've had a fistful of races this year where it's hiccups and it sounds weird, and I've gone to the back. You know, potentially save motor because, you know, the timing jumped or something was just wrong, a spark plug broke. So I'm definitely more aware and I'm listening more to what the truck is doing and how it's reacting and things like that.
It's definitely working for you, man. Keep it up. Up next, more with Joe Foley as we continue on with Inside Monster Jam powered by Lucas Oil. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. I'm Scott Jordan. I'm joined this week by El Toro Loco's Joe Foley. Joe, as far as your role as a technician, I know your role as a driver has grown exponentially. Your performance has grown. What changes are there for you this year and year two for Team Scream as far as responsibilities go?
When I was working for Jim, it was more of, if he broke the truck, me and him were going to fix it together. Now, I mean, anything that I do, I pretty much have to fix on my own because I'm not there to fix Jim's truck anymore. I don't have a designated crew guy to myself. So, I mean, if you can see behind me, I mean, the truck's looking a little rough at the moment, but I mean, it's only Wednesday. I got 2 more days to fix it before we're ready to go. So it's a lot more responsibility. It's a lot more, you know, taking initiative to fix things instead of being told to do it. So it's a lot, but I definitely wouldn't want it any other way. I enjoy being in control of my own truck and being able to work on it the way that I want to. So it's definitely a lot more, but I still love every minute of it.
If you don't have a designated crew guy, who is on the radio with you during your runs?
So Tyler Davidson, or CJ, whatever you guys want to call him, he's on the radio with us, but I mean, he definitely does a great job. He's the crew guy for all of Team Scream in general. He helps all of us out, but he definitely enjoys focusing on Jim's truck, which, fair enough, I wouldn't want to do that too.
Right.
So, I mean, in the middle of the show, yes, I have help, but during the week, it's a lot of, you know, I got to do this, I got to do this, but we're all still bouncing around helping each other. But it's not like with the fleet guys over there, it's not like there's one guy dedicated to one truck. So it's a lot of crisscrossing and bouncing around. You know, I was helping Chris the other day. He's going to help me today. CJ's bouncing around everywhere. So everybody helps everybody all the time.
How long did it take you to get used to the smoke coming out of the nose of El Toro Loco?
Oh, God. It took a while. I got yelled at by Adam the first, like, 3 shows. He's like, dude, you got to use the smoke. I was like, I don't think about it. I have a little toggle switch like, right next to my rear steer.
Yeah.
And it never crosses my mind. Even when I'm on, like, even when I'm having a burner of a run and just things are going right, I'm so focused on driving the truck that I forget to hit the switch. And then a couple times I'll hit it on accident, which ends up looking kind of cool. But it's still an adjustment. I still got to make a mental note about it before I get into the truck. And it's like, hey, hit the snorter when you hit this or this, that, and the other thing. So
I was thinking about having some smoke installed here at the desk. Anytime somebody gives me a burner of an answer, just pushing it where the pyro just like smoke just comes up here. So I'll try to keep that mentality in mind. Let's talk about body damage. We talked about truck parts and things like that. Now that you are rocking an El Toro Loco body, is there a little more leeway for you to just go out and shred it? Because I know with Axe, you know, you have to piece the thing back together and maybe limited on body parts in the trailer. But now you have a Feld IP body where there might be maybe a little more available. So does that come into play at all, or is it just the same thing?
It's kind of the same thing. I mean, I didn't lay up at all last year because I didn't want to do body work. I'll sit out in the parking lot and do fiberglass. It's miserable and it's not fun, but I'll still do it. Running the Feld body, I mean, it's a little more nerve wracking because I know at some point they're going to get a little upset that I've ripped through so many bodies. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I haven't changed anything driving wise. I'm doing the same stuff I did with Axe. Just, you know, whether I roll over, I roll over. the body fits kind of rough on the truck because it's such a long and tall body, and my truck's very short and narrow. So it takes rollovers pretty bad. But I'm trying to save as much as I can. I mean, I managed to get through Houston without even cracking anything.
That's a lot, man, because the Houston track is terrifying.
Yeah. Houston was gnarly. I mean, they cut those jumps out deep, which I totally love. But no, I mean, as far as the bodies are concerned, I'll pretty much, I don't change anything up depending on the body. I just kind of roll with it, do what I do.
All right, speaking of Houston, you picked up your third freestyle win of the season, which leads your series and ties Tyler Menega for most among active competitors. So how did, when you think about that, that Joe Foley in your second year with Team Scream on a stadium series, you are at the top of the sport. You are literally at this moment one of the best in the sport in freestyle, man. That's got to make you feel pretty good about what you're doing and how you've been, how you got there.
Absolutely. I mean, being on a tour with the Andersons and Mari and all those guys, I mean, that's an honor enough as it is. Being on a list and beating those guys in freestyle right now is kind of unfathomable. I really don't know what to say about it, but no, I mean, it's nuts. Being on the same playing field as those guys and being above them right now is just insane.
What happens if at the end of the season, Joe Foley leads Monster Jam and Stadium Freestyle wins?
If I'm leading the series in Monster Jam win and freestyle wins, I mean, that's just going to be nuts. I mean, whether I qualify for the World Finals or not, it would be absolutely amazing to be able to walk out and say that I did that. So, I mean, it would be insane. I mean, I hope it happens. I really do. But I can't focus too much on that. I got to focus on what I'm doing right now and just kind of keep my head level and don't let it get to me or anything like that. So I'm just going to keep rolling and working with what I got.
I feel like you've really embraced your role in El Toro Loco now. And I know you talked about fans at the pit party, but the fact that when you show up at Angel Stadium and you know you've got some events there, you know there's going to be thousands, if not tens of thousands of kids out there wearing El Toro Loco shirts, wearing the hats, having the trucks. I mean, you bring over your driving style as this, you know, upstart kid out of Massachusetts with Team Scream. And we already saw you last year throw down some good runs, man. The potential was there, but now you bring El Toro Loco Nation into it. And now you have all these fans that are able to see what you're doing, see you roll the truck, see you do the backflip, see you, you know, not hit the smoke when they want to see it. It's like, JoJo, hit the smoke. No, I can't. I forget. But they're still scoring you high, man. That's gotta be pretty special now that you have all of the backing from this built-in Monster Jam fans that come to the events to see you perform.
It absolutely is. I mean, running X, I had my base, and it was, you know, first responders, stuff like that. They always wanted to come up and see the truck. They wanted to talk about it, which I loved. I really did. I mean, I did it for so long. It's just, that hit home for me. But running El Toro, I have an entirely different fan base. I got, you know, little kids that love the Bull. I got families that have watched the Bull since 2001 when it first came out. I mean, there's just so many people that come up and want to talk about the truck. And I mean, I had to brush up on my history on it. So
yeah,
I'm trying to be a little more knowledgeable on the Bull, but you know, it's crazy. I mean, the pit parties are insane. Everybody wants to come up and, you know, take a picture. They want to come and talk for a while, which I'm always down to do. But yeah, I mean, it's a totally different fan base. It is a much larger fan base than I'm used to.
Now that you have the freestyle wins, I imagine, you know, the overall event championship is next on your list of goals. For that to happen, you have to put the event together. So as far as racing and skills go, what can you do now to catapult yourself with that freestyle wins to try and complete the event and win the championship?
Racing, I mean, two-wheel I've always done pretty decent in. I don't have a problem with two-wheeling. Racing is not my forte by any means. We race in San Diego. And something clicked, and just the track is working for me. And I was about a half a tire behind Ryan, which I know I still lost, but being able to be that close to Ryan Anderson in racing is pretty insane. But I've had a couple wins so far. I beat Jim a couple times. I think I beat Colt, and then I think me and Colt rolled over in the corner of the same show.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's definitely going a lot better. I think I gotta calm myself down on the line a little bit, not worry so much about who I'm racing, and just go out there, make my pass, and get ready for the next one.
I like that. Yeah, it takes some talent to win a race and roll yourself over afterwards, man. I like that. It's true carnage. All right, coming up next, your fan questions for Joe Foley. Stick around. More Inside Monster Jam is on the way. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. I'm joined by El Toro Loco's Joe Foley, and it's time for your fan questions. You can be a part of the conversation each week by following me on Instagram at Scott Jordan MJSX. Joe, are you ready for fan questions?
Absolutely. Bring them on.
Monster Truck Myth says, what does it feel to be on this skyrocketing-esque uprise? I like that. Hashtag skyrocketing-esque uprise. We're going to use that. What would you say is the difference between competing in Monster Jam and competing in independent promotions as you have already?
The difference is, I mean, Monster Jam, it's so, not to knock the other ones, but it's so much, you know, bigger of a promotion, and it's a bigger production, and you're run with, not, again, not knocking any of the independent drivers by any means, but you're running with top of the sport. You're running with, you know, the Mike Christensens. You're running with the, you know, Adam Andersons, the Ryans. You're running with all those guys. So it's a lot more pressure. I mean, when Team Scream shows up to an independent show, we're showing up there to do work and, you know, kick butt. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
When we come out here, we're trying to do the same thing, but the level of competition is so much higher. Right. Like, It's honestly scary how much more intense it is when you show up to a Monster Jam show.
Yeah, man. All right, Monster Truck Max wants to know, what the lineup is stacked as this, what does it take to set yourself apart from the competition in scored competitions like freestyle?
Honestly, I mean, I've been going late back for the last couple of weeks, which is awesome because I can watch what everybody does. I can see, you know, how this jump's going to send you, how this landing's going to be. I mean, you kind of figure out the flow watching everybody. And honestly, the only way that I could beat any of them is either go faster, more noise, or hit jumps three times harder than everybody else. That's been working out for me.
All right, man. I appreciate you, Joe. Thanks for taking some time out from fixing the truck to join me on the show. And best of luck to you, man. I'm excited to see where you go from here.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it. Hoping to get some more wins. I do hope to be back on the Inside Monster Jam here in a little while.
Yeah, don't forget to use the smoke toggle switch, my friend.
I'll work on it.
I appreciate it. As for you folks, I'll see you right here next week with another all-new episode of Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil.